interest in your prayers this morning for the time we'll stand before you. You know, when we study God's Word, it tells us not to esteem one day above another day. I mean, the way we should esteem each day is this way. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. Each and every day that we have opportunity to serve the Lord and to serve His people, we should seize that day, take advantage of that day. We do, however, see in Scripture where there are times, man, I'm trying to get used to them things, and it's just a struggle, so y'all bear with me. There are times in Scripture where we'll see that God commands His people to stop, to stand still, to take inventory. Brother James requested a song this morning, Count Your Blessings. When the children of Israel delivered from the bondage in Egypt, here they are. There was a different way they could have went, but the way that they were led out, they get here to this point, and they're basically in a box canyon. If you consider where they're to, there's a mountain on this side, a mountain on this side, and the Red Sea before them, and Pharaoh's army behind them. They're at an impasse in their life. And, of course, at this point in time, they begin to think and murmur and complain. Well, you know, couldn't we have died over there? We had to make this long trek. We walked all this far to die here. Wouldn't it have been better for us just to die there? And they didn't know what a great miracle lied just before them. And God commands Moses, and Moses stretches the staff out there at the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. The children of Israel cross on dry shod. And when they get to the other side, this is one of the only times in Scripture. Most of the times you'll find where it says the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time every man presseth into the kingdom. When you consider the armor that we have a breastplate. You know what's on the back? Nothing. Two leather straps. So when you go into battle, you go into battle. There is no retreat, okay? There is no retreat. There is no backing up in this army that we're in, which is the Lord's army. There is only going forward. But on this particular day, the Lord said, tell the children of Israel to stop and to turn around and to stand still and look upon the salvation of the Lord this day. Now, one thing is, notice that He used the word salvation. So surely that salvation went to heaven. It didn't deliver them to glory, but it did deliver them from the bondage in Egypt and the enemy that was pursuing them to safety on the other side. Anytime you consider the term salvation, I want you to consider what it's from and what it's to. Because if it's temporal, then I'm going to tell you, nine times out of ten, it's conditional. Conditional and temporal tie hand in hand. But I'm going to tell you, when it is eternal and in the heavens, it is unconditional. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not of works lest any man should boast. When it's unconditional, it's not of him that runneth, but of him that calleth. When it's unconditional, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. When it's unconditional, when you were yet enemies, Christ set His affection upon you. That is unconditional. That's eternal. But here we have, where we turn around, we stand still, we look upon salvation, Lord, this day. You're going to find as you continue through this, they're going to spend 40 years out there wandering around the wilderness because they couldn't be obedient. You know, there's so many of God's children that spend their time in the wilderness this day as well. And they wander around in the wilderness and they never actually come into Canaan's land. See, the church is a picture of Canaan's land because Canaan's land was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Canaan's land was a land that had wells that they didn't dig and it had vineyards they didn't plant. And I'm going to tell you, when we come into the church, we drink from wells that we didn't dig. We drink from wells. I'm going to tell you, that's like the Lord told that woman who was. If you knew who I was, you'd ask of me to give you a drink. He said, whosoever believes me, he said, he'll have a well of water springing up. And I'm going to tell you, when we gather together as the saints of God, we get to feast in that and be partakers of that. And it's such a great blessing unto us. But many times you'll find. Now, here's the thing I want you to know. You see that beautiful deliverance that took place over there in Egypt? They were all delivered, wasn't they? But when they got ready to go into Canaan's land, they sent the spies out. Joshua and Caleb come back and said, you know, the Lord told us we could take this land. We can take this land. There were some folks there that said, man, did you see how big them dudes was over there? There's no way we can take that land. No. Their assessment was true. There's no way they could have, but I'm going to tell you, God had delivered them that land. And Joshua and Caleb trusted in the promise of God. But the other ones didn't. And because they didn't believe, and not only did they not believe, they didn't act upon it in faith. See, Joshua and Caleb said, yes, let's go in. I'm going to tell you, when we come into the church, that's what we do. Yeah, I believe that. I identify with it. And I'm going in, man. I'm going to hit the water. I'm going in. Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can go in. No, we can't take it. They wandered around out there in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, everybody from that generation and up died. Man, there was a whole bunch of miracles took place out there. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. I mean, I can't wear a pair of shoes the past about 6 months. Them things get all crooked. But their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. When I was a kid, I couldn't wear shoes very long because I'd outgrow them just about that fast. You know, theirs lasted for 40 years in the wilderness. All kind of miracles took place. They finally come out of there, and they're fixing to go in. And as they go across the Jordan River, God tells Moses to tell them to get a representative from each tribe. And when the priest walked into the water bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the water stood up on a heap. And he told them to grab 12 stones from this river and to go on the other side and to put these stones up as a memorial, so that they could remember it. And in years to come, when their children looked upon these stones and they asked the questions, what mean these stones? He said, you tell them about the deliverance of the Lord today. So from that, we understand that it's good for us from time to time to take inventory and to remember the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you, if we consider and look back over this past year, I mean, in this past year, we've made 365 rotations and one big swoop around the sun, right? That's what's taking place. And a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Time has no dominion over God. But there's coming a day, brethren, when we're going to arise on a day that'll never end. I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day, remember that time the Lord came there and there was 10 lepers and he healed them, told them to go their way? One out of 10 turned around and praised the Lord and gave him thanks for this great deliverance. So many times I think we go to the Lord in prayer, we're like little kids. I want. But so many times, brethren, we need to pause and take inventory. And we do need to look at the blessings and look at the stones. You know, when you think about that, there's still some stones that stand as a memorial today. Ye, as living stones, are built up into a spiritual house. And I'm going to tell you, mamas and daddies, you need to have your kids where those stones are. Because if they're not where their stones are, they're not going to ask the question, what mean these stones? Because they've never seen them. Have your children where the stones are. Encourage your grandchildren to have them where the stones are. And ye be the stones you're called to be. Be the representatives. Be the ambassadors of Christ that we're called to be. We're to be lively stones built up into a spiritual house, so that not only might offer those spiritual sacrifices, but that we might stand as a memorial to him who has called us from death and trespass and sin to alive in Christ. We're to be a memorial. We're to take stock of the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you, when I look back over this past year, you know what's amazing is, when I look back over the past few years, there's been some great hardships in my life. There's also been some great blessings. Been some great hardships, but you know what? The good Lord's still with me. He's still blessing me. And no matter what this old world may throw at me, it really don't matter. It's like one time I went somewhere. I'll never forget this lesson I learned. We had held the association. It was right after Papa died, and the association was held at Good Hope. And I had an interaction with a gentleman, and it was not pleasant. And another gentleman from that area had invited me to come down there and preach. And on the way down there, I had one text on my mind the entire time. And I said, no, I'm just a whippersnapper. I'm not preaching on that. If the good Lord wants them to hear about that, somebody else is going to do it. I'm not doing it. I said, Lord, if I was going to preach on that subject, it'd take me 1 hour and 15 minutes anyway. That is a big subject. There's no way I could do it in 30 minutes. You know that's all I'm going to get. It's 30 minutes. There's no way, Lord, I could cover such a big subject. I got down there, and we started at 10 o'clock. At 10:30, they started singing. They made the announcements. They put this one brother up, and then put me up to follow him. That brother stood 15 minutes, and he sat down. At 10:45. You know how long that is? 1 hour and 15 minutes. Let me tell you just how bullheaded I am. I didn't get the hint. I still didn't preach on that subject. I didn't want to. I didn't want to have to. So I turned to Ephesians 1. I thought at that point in time, if a fella couldn't preach on Ephesians 1, he just couldn't preach. You know what I found out? That if preaching is going to take place, the Holy Ghost has to come down. And the Holy Ghost don't come down and bless you when you do something that is contrary to what God has instructed you to do. I tried to preach on Ephesians 1, and the page may as well have been blank. It was horrible. It was the worst 5 minutes of my life. I tried to stand. Then I said, you know what, brethren? That's not the text I had. The text I had the whole way down here is over here. And we're fixing to abandon this, and we're going to go over there, and I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. And I turned over there. You know what the Lord said? Too late. At 10:55, I said, brethren, if somebody's going to preach today, somebody else is going to have to do it. I sat down. You know them brethren broke for lunch at 10:55? I was so shook up that I didn't even stay. I took off. I got in my truck. I left. Pulled out in front of a guy right there in front of the church house. I almost got run over. I was so scared and undone. I'm telling you, I didn't think I'd ever preach again. I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Because the lesson is, when the Lord's pleased with you, it don't matter who else is angry with you, to be honest with you. I'm sorry to say it that way, but it doesn't. Because if the Lord's pleased with you, because if the Lord's displeased with you, that's what I told somebody one time. If you get mad at me, I'm going home. It'll be all right. But when the Lord's mad at you, guess what? He goes home with me. He talks to me when I lay my head down on the pillow. He keeps me from going to sleep. He bothers me and he chastises me 24/7, 365. Who'd you rather have angry at you? The world? What's this world going to do? Brother, I'm going to tell you, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We need to remember that. We need to remember to whom it's more important to serve. What is this world giving you? I mean, just think back and consider that. I think back over the last 3 years, this world ain't giving us nothing but heartache, son. Heartache and hard times. We had a point in time where we were commanded not to gather. You know, there's somebody else commanded not to gather, too. You know what they did? They kept on clipping on. Old Daniel was told, don't you be serving the Lord. He didn't make any bones about it. You know why? He was serving the Lord. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, thank you. Because I hate using them names a king give them. But anyway, they said, O king, we're not careful to answer thee. You know why they weren't careful to answer him? Because God we serve is able to deliver us out of here. I'm going to tell you, brethren, I don't care what we faced in the past year or what we face in the upcoming year. God we serve is able to deliver us from all of our troubles, all of our trials, all of our sickness, all of our ailments. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to serve him. And one of the best ways we can serve him is by serving his children. And the best way to serve his children and to serve him is to be where he and his children gather. And I'll tell you, he's promised us where he and his children are gathered is in the church. Over in Hebrews, he tells us, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He said, I'll declaim thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. There's a pretty good place to start looking for the Lord if you're really striving to look for the Lord. That's where the church gathers. You gather where the church gathers, that's a pretty good place to look for the Lord. Probably not going, can I look around? I could have been in a tree this morning. Do I enjoy God's creation when I'm out there in a tree? I do. But I can't worship Him the way He's called me to worship Him. I can't lift up praise unto Him with the saints of God in a tree this morning. Can't do it. I've got to be where He's at. Well, that's something that we have to do. We have to enter into Canaan's land. We have to press into the kingdom. But there's so many things that cause so many distractions. I want to share this with you, and I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. In the Luke, in the 10th chapter, in the 38th verse. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. We're going to find out that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus are going to be very special to the Lord. He comes there to the house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She said, Lord, do you see what kind of work I'm doing? You see how I'm having to labor, how I'm having to work? Would you tell my sister to get off her butt and come? That's what's happening here. Would you tell her to get off her rump and come help me? I'm working like a dog and she's sitting in there hanging out with everybody and not doing anything. And here's what the Lord says to Martha. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. How much time did we spend this past year in that exact same position? Troubled about many things. Careful and troubled. We're not told not to be careful for anything. Be careful for anything. But trust in the Lord. Thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Boy, this puts everything in perspective right here, doesn't it? So you got all this stuff you're worried about, Martha. You're trying to make enough bread for everybody that's here. You're trying to prepare a meal, probably a stew or something like that. I don't know. She's getting all this stuff done and worried about all. I said, look, Martha, you worry and care about all kinds of things. But there's one thing that's needful. Just one thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When you consider everything that's out there, what's the one thing? You can get troubled about all kinds of stuff. You can worry about jobs. You can worry about bills. You can worry about politics. You can worry about diseases and pandemics and all this stuff that goes on, which is nothing more than a distraction. It's all it is. All these things are distractions. I think of Satan as a pulling guard. That's the way I view Satan. He's not going to come at you head on. He's not going to line up across from you and say, hey, let's get after it. That's not how he comes to you. If he did, he'd be a whole lot easier to recognize. He's a pulling guard. He's that guy that comes out of nowhere and hits you when you least expect it. That's how he works. He sets traps. He's sneaky. It says the wiles of the devil. That's treachery is what that is. The wiles. It's like traps and booby traps and sneaking up and guerrilla warfare. That's what's under consideration when you consider wiles of the devil. Considering all those things, what's the one thing? What's the one thing? The one thing is the good part. And that is what Mary chose, the good part. You know she was found? At the feet of Jesus. You know when we gather here where we're gathered? At the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, brethren, in this upcoming year, I'm not going to tell you this year is going to be without troubles. Each year and each day has got enough trouble to take care of itself, according to Scripture. And we're to take no thought for tomorrow. That's going to have enough trouble for tomorrow. But today's the day the Lord's made. This moment that you have right now, you have breath. And what you do with each moment is extremely important, because you'll never get this moment again. This moment is past. This day is gone. Old Bear Bryant had a poem he used to make all of his incoming freshmen memorize. He says, "This is a day that the Lord has made. This is a day that I've been blessed with." And he says, "I want to make sure that whatever I do with this day, I'll not forget the price I paid for it. I want to make sure that whatever I do today is for gain and not loss, good and not evil." I challenge you in this coming year, and I'm going to challenge myself to try to do a better job of choosing that good part, of keeping my eyes on the one thing and not getting distracted by all of the waves and the roaring and all of the distractions. This old world and Satan and all the principality of powers that be against us might bring our way. May we be focused on Him. May we continue to seek after Him. May we serve Him more perfectly in this coming year with great vigor and zeal than we have in this past year. May the Lord bless us to seek that good part and that one thing, and to be the light that He's called us to be, that we might be the lively stones and the memorial that we're called to be, and that there might come a day that one stopped to take inventory of the stones and say, "Man, I sure am thankful for that stone. That stone made a difference in my life. That stone was an encouragement to me." I'll never forget remembering Brother Harold when I was a kid growing up. I remember Brother Harold's prayer. "Lord, bless us to walk in a way that if we look back and see what we see one following in our footsteps, that it'll not bring reproach unto thy great name or unto your church." Man, what a prayer. The only way we can truly be that is if we make sure that we choose the one thing, the good part, and we keep our eyes fixed upon Him. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.